Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It's the dog jumping up on the furniture of free speech. Because you tell them not to, they're just going to do it anyway, and we are just going to, we're going to speak freely, at least as long as it's still legal, and then probably then, and then probably even then. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the badly needed fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. No, forget the extension, but operator is standing by. And we've got Paul Stevenson with us. Paul, is this our first show of the new year? No, it's not. It's our second. It's our first.
I think it's our second. It's our, well, yeah, because we did it a double whammy last week, and then we used the second part for my show, I believe. So it would have been Thursday. This would have been, yeah, the second, so the day after New Year. Yeah.
All right. Well, there's stuff going on, so there's always stuff to talk about. Anything on your mind?
So, yeah, there's so much going on that it's hard to give it the time and to critique it and analyze the way that one would like to and that it deserves, you know? In the Middle East and with Ukraine and Russia, how Trump's going to deal with that and what's going to happen then. And in the UK, you got Elon Musk being very vocal about the grooming guy. So there's a lot to talk about.
Okay, well, I'm going to throw out the first pitch here, and your audio is almost there, not quite. Could be a little better, but it's almost there. But anyway, I'm going to throw out this first pitch. And this was something that took me by surprise because Trump's been saying a lot of really retarded things. Yet, on Truth Social, which is his imitation of, like a cheap imitation of Twitter, he put out a truth, I guess that's what he calls them, that was a link to a Jeffrey Sachs video where Jeffrey Sachs was saying that he said Obama had intervened in Syria trying to overthrow Assad 4 years before the Russians ever came there. The New York Times, in all of these past 13 years or 14 years since that executive order, mentioned it only three times, that Russia is the good guys in Ukraine, and that Netanyahu is a son of a bitch. I mean, actually, Jeffrey Sachs was using language that we wouldn't even use on RBN. And, you know, you normally think of Jeffrey Sachs as being very scholarly and academic and
polite.
He was not mincing words and, saying that, I don't know, they're trying to scare the S word out of people and this and that. But it was really hardcore. Really hostile to Netanyahu, saying that Netanyahu is responsible for the wars in not just, you know, in Gaza, but in Syria, in Iraq, and now he's trying to drag us into a war with Iran. It was pretty hardcore. And so just the thought that Trump has viewed that is significant, but that he viewed it and now he's having his, like, the half dozen people or so who follow him on Truth Social, because I don't think there's very many, but that he's putting it out there on his social media. Wow. I wonder what Netanyahu's going to say. And I wonder what these Jews that he's Jews and Scholz for the Jews that he's hired for his administration, what are they going to say? So I kick it over to you.
Well,
have you heard?
Well, what exactly did Jeffrey Sachs say?
Okay, he talked about in this brief, like 1 minute or 90 second clip that Judge Napolitano was playing. He said that Obama had 4 years before the Russians intervened in Syria. Obama had ordered the American government, the CIA, to overthrow Assad. And so, you know, it's BS that, you know, it's BS to talk about Russia intervening without talking about why there was chaos there in the first place, which was because Obama was trying to overthrow Assad. That,
right.
The, well, he was talking about what was going on in Ukraine, and I don't remember the exact words, but it was that the Russians were on the right side. Not, the, you know, the Russians were on the right side. And then finally, I can't remember exactly how he expressed it, but then regarding Netanyahu, that Netanyahu was behind the Iraq war, that Netanyahu was behind what went on in Syria, and that he's trying to drag us into Iran, and he called him a son of a bitch.
Jeffrey Sachs did, yeah.
Jeffrey Sachs referred to him as like, he didn't use the word devious, but like just like a miserable son of a bitch, or I can't remember. It was a something Sneaky. son of a bitch. It was a really, it was going hard. And so for Trump to re-truth this to his, the few retards who have signed up for Truth Social. I don't know a single person who's ever been on Truth Social. I've never.
Hold on. I'll stop you there, Patrick. I'm a very keen member myself.
So, are you?
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. Okay. So, well, this is this is the thing with Trump, though. You know, Trump has your head spinning. You never know where he's at. Okay, so Trump's putting something like that out on his Truth Social network. And then, so one would have to conclude that Donald J. Trump knows what's going on. He knows the score. Otherwise, why would he post something like that?
Yeah.
In which case, what's he going to do about it? You know, in which case is he going to go over and tell that SOB, you're done? I mean, so, you know, you've been causing all this chaos in the Middle East. You've been bribing our politicians and our Congress. And I'm an American First guy. You're done. You know, what about just slapping him in the face as he sticks his hand out with that little cheesy grin of his, this little sinister grin that he shakes when he greets Donald Trump. How about just not shaking hands and just slapping him so hard you knock him about 3 feet in the ground, you know?
Indeed. So
would that work?
Yeah, well, that would be welcome sight. For, where am I going with this? The same day, I don't know if it's before or after, Trump is saying that if the 100 Israeli captives are not released by Hamas, by his inauguration day, then all hell's going to break loose. Like, I mean, here you are, you're in Gaza, and 70% of the buildings are already completely rubble, and you're going to worry about hell breaking loose, you know, with all these corpses everywhere, no food.
Well, that's what I was about. I was about to say it's a bit like, you know, threatening a corpse, and if you don't get up, well, you know,
yeah.
So it's like, what more can you do to me? That I haven't already seen. I mean, those Palestinians, God love them, they never seem to get a break. I mean, not, you know, if that wasn't bad enough, you get the President of the United States coming in and saying, I'm going to deal with these people harshly. There's going to be hell to pay. I mean, listen, there's nothing he can do anyway. I mean, those hostages are well underground. And, you know, Hamas are still, they're still alive. They're still, as an organization, they're still fighting back. They're still causing problems for Israel.
They're still recruiting. I've heard a way of verifying this, but I've heard that they are recruiting faster than they are losing people through death. And why wouldn't, like, if you were a man and you were alive in Gaza, you'd probably be pretty pissed off by now, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you join a resistance group?
Of course you would. Of course you would. What else are you going to do? Of course you would. It wouldn't even take what happened in Gaza for you to sign up to, you know, to that resistance, for God's sake. It's interesting, actually. I was listening to a guy, Daniel Davis, Deep Dive, had a guy on who was actually a British guy who's out fighting for the Russians. He's actually of Irish descent. He must have insisted they put the Irishness there because it said British Irish soldier, but he's got an English accent, so he's probably of, you know, his parents are probably Irish, came over to England. But he's out there fighting for the Russians. And he said there's an increasing number of foreigners, you know, coming over to fight for the Russians, you know, which is interesting. And he also said that the Russians, you know, what they're operating with within the parameters that they're operating with in special military operation is nothing compared to what they could. He said they haven't, this is not even close to being a proper mobilization. He more or less insinuated if they had a proper mobilization, they could just run that country into the ground in the space of a month and just take over the whole. Some people, of course, I was listening to Paul Craig Roberts last night. He was heavily of Vladimir for spending so much time on this operation, and he was saying, you know, he was more or less insinuating that he's in a very bad position. You know, he's lost his position in Syria. He's taken far too long with this operation in Ukraine. You know, when you listen to a lot of the guys in the judge and people like Johnson, Scott Ritter, McGregor, you know, everybody sort of sings from the same hymn sheet that Russia's very much in control. Now, I'm not saying I agree with Paul Craig Roberts. I do believe that Russia are very much in the driver's seat there. But it was interesting to hear someone have a different perspective on it, you know. And then you were saying to me the last time we spoke that, I forget what you were referring to. I think it was about Israel, Scott Ritter and a couple of other guys. They've just done a complete U-turn now when it comes to Israel. What were you saying?
I don't know about a couple of other guys, but Scott Ritter, and Scott Ritter, can when he gets excited, he gets very bombastic. And Scott Ritter seemed to just be accepting that Syria's lost forever, that Israel has won in Syria, that they're coming out on top. And so we might as well just, if we want to be winners, we might as well just accept that we're going to be Israel's protector, and that's how we'll win. It was kind of hard to follow what he was saying.
Well, Scott Ritter is quite an impatient guy, you know, in his mind. He doesn't like things unraveling, and he seems to struggle with speculation of any descriptions. He can only say, this is how it is. It's always very, like you say, bombastic. Mm-hmm. It's always very sensational. And this is what's happened now. This is how it is now. You know, and, well, we don't know. I mean, you know, when this whole thing happened, I said to you, well, you know, what's probably going to happen now, you're going to see Syria carved up between the Turks, the Americans, and the Israelis, which is accurate. I think we also predicted that there was going to be some, you know, down the line when this all settled down and they're all in unison when it comes to overthrowing Assad, that Israel and Turkey and the United States, obviously United States and Israel, you know, joined the hip, inextricably linked, against Assad or against Turkey. Now, you're seeing certainly this rhetoric, which one has to take with a, you know, large pinch of salt when it comes to Erdogan. Erdogan's one of the most ornery men in geopolitics. He's always angry. But the kind of rhetoric coming out of Turkey is like they're warning Israel, you know, for essentially exploiting the situation and that there's going to be trouble. And Israel had responded to this by saying that they need to be prepared for a war with Turkey. On the other hand, there was an article in Axios where they were talking about, and Mercurius covered this too, where they were saying that, you know, the United States and NATO need to be prepared to be able to kill Turks in Syria. So, you know, it remains to be seen how this is all going to unravel. you know, one would, you know, you'd probably think that the Americans and Israel will probably try and, you know, organize some sort of deal with Turkey. I don't know. How do you see that panning out? I'm just not sure if I can see it. You know, again, you've got a lot of, you know, hothead rhetoric from Erdogan, but can you really see the Israelis clashing with the Turks? I mean, I'd love to see it. I'd love the Turks to, you know, teach the Israelis a lesson. I mean, they're great at dropping bombs from the safety of the clouds on, you know, schools and hospitals and refugee camps in Gaza. But I'd love to see them fight a real army.
Yeah, I don't see the Israelis fighting the Turks. And Erdogan recently, within the past couple of days, came out and was saying that he does not favor carving up Turkey. I mean, carving up Syria.
That's right.
So here's the thing. You've got this new guy in, you know, Jalani, whatever you want to call him. You want to call him Jalani. You got this new guy.
Apparently he's
what?
Apparently Jalani's a Jew.
Well, I don't know about that. I would actually doubt it, but stranger things have happened. There are people out there who are going to say anybody's a Jew. So, but where do you hear this from?
I was on Richard's show on Monday, and someone on there. It might have been. I'm not sure whether it was Richard, but I was only on there with Steve Whitener. So it was maybe Stephen or somebody who called in. I'm not sure. So I don't know myself. I'm just saying. I've heard someone say that, you know. But anyway.
Well, like I say, stranger things have happened, but. There are people who are automatically just going to say anybody's a Jew. So I would highly doubt it. The Al Jalani, what's his name? Abu something Al Jalani. And I guess Jalani is in some dialect that refers to Golan, that his family
yes.
is Golan.
Of Golan.
Yeah, Golan. Well, Golan, there are some Jewish settlers there, and this guy, how old is he? Is he 40? There wouldn't have been that many Jewish settlers there when he was born. There are a lot of Druze, but I guess this guy wouldn't be Druze because he's a hardcore. He's the head of a hardcore Sunni extremist group. So, to me, that doesn't make any sense. But like I say, stranger things have happened. So, and I don't know a whole lot about this guy. But the thing is, you never know with these people. So Muammar Gaddafi, he was a colonel. So he wasn't a general. He was a colonel. He managed to overthrow the government of the kingdom. He overthrew the king of Libya in 1969. He did have help from the CIA. They thought that the king wasn't going to be strong enough against communism and Soviet influence, so they supported Gaddafi. Gaddafi overthrew a very young Gaddafi because you're talking about 1969, and then Gaddafi wound up. When was Gaddafi murdered? It was about 40 years later, right? Because Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, so
That'd
be sometime between 2009 and 2013, because those were the years that Hillary was Secretary of State. And in fact,
I think it was
the Arab Spring started.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it, contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A five-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
In 2013, because those were the years that Hillary was Secretary of State. And in fact,
I think it was.
So the Arab Spring started in 2011, and I think this was part of that whole Arab Spring thing. So it probably happened late 2011, maybe 2012. So you wound up with this guy who probably the CIA thought that he's going to be our guy, he's going to be our puppet. And next thing you know, he's very, very independent. This type of thing can happen. I'm not saying that that's how Jelani's going to be, but there are different things he could be. A, he could be a flash in the pan and be completely insignificant and be forgotten by history. He could also wind up being, you know, he's a young man. Maybe he's smart. Maybe he's going to be another Castro or another Gaddafi.
Hey, there's no doubt about it. He is smart and he's charismatic. Because I've heard him speak. He's obviously educated.
So that's something. Another thing, another possibility is he could wind up being a very shrewd but loyal ally to Erdogan, for instance, and make it so that it's in Erdogan's interest for Syria to be united and have territorial integrity, because through this guy, Erdogan is going to get the main things he wants out of Syria, which is, for instance, suppressing Kurdish, like making sure that there's no Kurdish nationalist activity there.
Well, so that does look like what's been, you know, happening thus far, you know.
Right, and then so the thing is
what you just described.
I mean, right now you've got the foreign powers that have or until recently had influence in Syria. The Russians had their base. The Americans control the oil regions in the northeast. Turkey controlled the Idlib province and some areas close to its border. Israel now has taken a little bit, like 500 square kilometers, which isn't a huge amount, but it's, you know, it's something adjacent to the Golan. And Iran, I guess Iran's not important there now, but they were until very recently. And then Lebanon, or more precisely Hezbollah. So you had these six foreign actors who are all jockeying for position. And, you know, one might say, okay, Turkey and the United States and Israel are all working together. They all won this. But the idea that Israel and Turkey and the United States are just going to continue to work together, there's no guarantee with that. I mean, the United States and Israel right now United States is in Israel's pocket. But then again, Trump's coming in. He's always a wild card. On the one hand, on the same day, he's saying that he's the best friend Israel's ever had. And then he's spreading around this video of Jeffrey Sachs calling Netanyahu a son of a bitch. So
that's just like typical of Trump, you know.
Is that the best friend? Is that Netanyahu's best friend? If you're passing around a really smart guy explaining why Netanyahu's a son of a bitch. So
yeah, and then I heard him, you know, in this recent speech he gave, basically saying that, you know, that you know, the Russians back in the day were given, you know, there was they were given security deals, basically, more or less, that, you know, the whole NATO history, and then even since that Biden made a deal, you know, with them. I'm pretty sure he was referring to, I heard Daniel Davis going over this, and he thought he was talking about the Minsk agreements, but I don't think he was, because Biden wasn't involved in that. He was talking about the Budapest deal at the start of the war. So if I'm correct, Trump referred to that as well, that there was a deal made that would have settled everything, and that they were reneged on it. So again, you know, Trump sounds like he's a man talking sense. But then you just can't predict what he's actually going to do. He might do the complete opposite. He might start turning the screw on Russia. And, you know, there's talk about this, you know, Kellogg and others, you know, wanting to, you know, put heavier sanctions on Russia and, you know, arming the Ukrainians even further to the teeth and everything else. So you just never know with Trump. You know, it's like when you think he has an epiphany about something, you think, oh, we're all good. But you just don't know, and you don't know whether that's because is he genuinely capricious, or does he just relinquish his instincts and what he does know to those who are surrounding him for whatever reason, you know?
So he wants to portray himself as being the tough guy, the macho guy. And you look at how he dealt with North Korea. Now, Trump was on the verge of overseeing a peace treaty with North Korea, between North and South Korea, or between America and North Korea. He was on the verge of it. How did he get there, though? He got there by threatening war. And then I've heard him talk about Afghanistan, the Taliban, and how he negotiated the Taliban to stop attacking American troops in Afghanistan, and how he had negotiated a withdrawal that eventually happened under Biden.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Start your day on RBN with John Moore from 7-10. With coffee cup in hand, wake up with the Liberty Man. Highly qualified guests share their knowledge with the callers Monday through Friday. His website is second to none. It's thelibertyman.com. You'll find everything right there. Start your day and be prepared. So give a listen or a call. Tune in. Weekdays on RBN. Start your day and be prepared. So give a listen or a call. Tune in. Weekdays on RBN.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaste by MyNutra. Why is hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like hempaste. Hempaste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy hemp paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Stop attacking American troops in Afghanistan, and how he had negotiated a withdrawal that eventually happened under Biden, that he's trying to distance himself from it, but at the same time take credit for it. But the way he explains it is he's talking to what's the guy's name, Mohammed. And Mohammed is like, Yes, Your Excellency, I understand. But why do you send me a picture of my own house? Which is a funny thing to say, but what it's like, we know where you live and we will kill you if you don't do what we want. And that's like a macho type of thing. Now, Maybe Trump might try this macho type of thing with Iran. Trying the macho thing with Putin is not going to work, and it's just going to make things worse.
Yeah, nah, it's not going to work with Putin. But yeah, you just don't know what Trump's going to do. I mean, you know, from a humanitarian point of view, he talks about the bodies piling up on, and it's very rare you would hear any politician, you know, talking about the sight of hundreds of bodies. I forget how he referred to it, but he just painted a picture of the reality of war. And, you know, and therefore, again, you think, okay, you know, this man is a decent man, and we need a decent man leading the United States. But then you just don't know. You just don't know what he's going to do, you know? You know, he might try and threaten them, you know, and act the big guy. Who knows? And anyway, the other problem is, how, if you're the Russians and you're dealing with the United States, I think it's almost impossible for Russia to pin down and nail down in a long-term way like they want to have the security guarantees that they want. Because yeah. Trump could come in and say, right, you know, Ukraine's never going to be in NATO. And in 4 years' time, there'll be somebody else come in and they just restart the whole project again, you know? I mean, what do you do there? You know, it's not like, you know, if Putin's dealing with Xi Jinping, he knows that why Xi Jinping's in there. He's dealing with the same stuff. He can make long-term deals. He can make long-term contracts, whether it's, you know, economically or trade-wise or security-wise or whatever. But how do you make deals with the United States where they can flip-flop every 4 years, you know? I just don't see how Trump, even if unless he had another term after that, and even then, the longest period of time that this can be guaranteed for is 8 years. What do you think? How did Russia deal with this apart from actually largely having a much more proactive, almost controlling role in what happens in Ukraine, so that there can never be a situation that's happened over the last 6 years?
Yeah, well, I mean, what they're going for, these are still going to be agreements written on pieces of paper, and you could say, well, it's not worth anything more than the paper it's written on. But they are going
to agree.
Constitutional guarantees, so that Ukraine writes into its own constitution that it's neutral. And, you know, constitution.
But again, how do you trust that? How do you trust?
Yeah, but also, if you're, it's guaranteed. I mean, nothing's really guaranteed. But to the extent that you have an agreement, and the agreement requires that bases like NATO bases don't go, that they withdraw from certain places or they never go to certain places, then you have kind of a trigger. If things start going against the agreement, and if you have it so that it's kind of two-sided, then if one side doesn't hold up their end of the agreement, then whatever guarantees that Russia has made could be rescinded as well. You know, like for instance, I don't think I'm explaining myself very well, but for instance, you had these the treaty, what it was called, the IMF treaty or INF treaty, the intermediate nuclear
INF
treaty.
That's a good example.
Yeah. So Trump backed out of it. Okay. He said the Russians are cheating. And Trump backs out of it. Okay. Well, he backed out. That was his decision. It wasn't Putin's decision. Well, what does Putin do? It develops these hypersonic missiles. Okay. Let's switch gears here. Elon Musk, who I described with the Japanese term hentai bakubon, which means genius idiot. He's probably more a genius autist. I think he really is kind of autistic.
He looks a little bit funny, yeah.
He's been creating quite a kerfuffle in British politics, hasn't he?
Yeah, so, I mean, he's been, you know, basically calling out the whole establishment, particularly targeting the Prime Minister, including calling for him to be imprisoned. The police service, everybody called, you know, Jess Phillips of the Labour government as well for being complicit. And I mean, some of the language, I haven't got the tweets in front of me, but you know, some of it's really, really strong. I mean, you have to say it's very enjoyable to listen to it. And Keir Starmer responded to this the other day. And, you know, and what was his response? Oh, this is all far right. I mean, this is exactly the same playbook. I mean, the man's not capable of an original thought. And, you know, it's a fool's errand, I think, if he's going to take on Elon Musk, who is very sharp. And Keir Starmer is anything but sharp.
He's very sharp. Hmm? He's sharp and retarded.
Yeah. But, you know, Keir Starmer, I'll be honest with you. If you watch the clip of Keir Starmer, he looked terrified. He honestly did. He looked terrible. Uh-huh. He must be thinking, oh, please go away. And this has dominated the British news stream for the last week. Now, it should be said that the establishment, with the help of the media doing the heavy lifting for them, had hoped that this was buried, done, gone away, never to be talked about again. Like I said, with the heavy lifting done by the media, who basically brushed all of this under the carpet and never give it any coverage. So it turns out that Jess Phillips, I forget her position in the Labour government, but she basically denied for there to be an investigation, another inquiry into the grooming gangs, as to, in other words, what went wrong, who was responsible, who was complicit, all this type of thing, which would involve an inquiry would involve, including Starmer, who was the chief prosecutor at the time for the CPS, and you know, she refused it, so she denied for there to be another inquiry, and then Musk picked up on this and started laying into all of them. And he's not holding back with some of the language. I'm just trying to see if I can find some of the quotes here. But, I mean, you know, as I say, Starmer looks terrified. You know, Musk's tweets are talking about imprisoning him. And there was a poll he did or something about liberating the British people from tyranny, about how there's no free speech over here. So this has been a great, you know, release valve for a lot of people, where you have this very influential, obviously very incredibly wealthy man talking to people like Starmer and these types of people, who basically, you know, they're little despots who lord it over the people, including when there was the son of an immigrant from Rwanda during the summer killed three children at a kindergarten. And Starmer's response was to come out and said that, you know, these people who are rioting and protesting, they're all far right. So they never actually attack or deal with the issue in hand. They just deflect it and basically smear everybody as far right. And he's done the same thing again, you know, in response to Elon Musk. And this is not going to go away anytime soon. And I think it's going to end up in the result of at least the resignation of Keir Starmer, I think, at some point. If nothing else, because I don't think he can handle it. And I think he's terrified of the investigation because they turned a blind eye to a lot of this stuff, you know, because apparently they didn't want to be called racist, because they didn't want to identify specifically Pakistani Muslim gangs raping white girls. If it was white men raping black girls or Pakistani girls, of course, it would be a very different story.
Except that doesn't happen.
No.
It doesn't
and
happen.
none of the liberal establishment, or whatever you want to call them, wanted this story to reemerge, and it is back with a vengeance, you know, because of Elon Musk.
Okay, so it's back with a vengeance, and I've been hearing from you and from Mark Collett and from Andy Hitchcock and from everybody else that you had these grooming gangs. They were running amok. This was extremely widespread. There is probably thousands of girls who were taken advantage of in pretty extreme ways, and that the police turned a blind eye because they didn't want to be called racist. And I've been hearing this ever since I've been doing these radio shows. I've been hearing this, and you know, it seems kind of amazing, but it's happened. It's true. And they would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for these meddling kids. Now, that's a reference to Scooby-Doo. I don't know if you ever saw the Scooby-Doo. But if they would have gotten away with it, if it wasn't for these meddling tweets by Elon Musk, who now has riled everything up. And so you're saying that it's back with a vengeance, and because Keir Starmer at the time had some sort of role in the prosecution or non-prosecution of these.
He would be the equivalent of, I guess, in your politics as kind of the attorney general kind of character. He was the chief prosecutor overseeing all prosecutions by the CPS, the Crime Prosecution Service, which decides which cases will even be listened to, which cases are taken seriously, which cases have credibility, which don't, everything surrounding the circumstances as to why or why not they would be brought into the attention and brought to the justice system, all of that. And so
this would have been like 15 years ago during maybe Gordon Brown, his cabinet.
Starmer was the chief prosecutor between 2008 and 2013.
Okay, so that would be basically Gordon Brown's cabinet, who followed Tony Blair.
Yeah,
maybe part of Tony. I can't remember what year.
Just at the end of it, where Brown would have came in. And also at the beginning of the coalition between the Conservatives and the Lib Dems, David Cameron and the Lib Dems had a coalition, I think, for about 3 years, 4 years before the Conservatives.
And Keir Starmer would have served in that capacity under the Conservative Lib Dem. Isn't he Labour?
No, if I'm correct, Patrick, that position sort of transcends parties.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I was just trying to get the timeline. And so he's very, very culpable then and very vulnerable to this news story. And you're saying that you wouldn't be surprised if he winds up resigning.
I wouldn't be surprised if the man went and killed himself. Because he looks terrified. And, you know, Starmer's the kind of guy who's power hungry. And like I said, you know, these people they really masquerade as they're total hypocrites. You know, they masquerade as virtuous people, and they care about minorities and everything else. They don't care about anything but except power. And I'm sorry, but right now Elon Musk is like, you know, he's got Keir Starmer in the playground and he's eating his lunch, you know, because Starmer looks terrified. He looks like a little boy. He probably was a little boy at school. He's just the kind of little kid. He's probably the kind of kid at school that no one liked. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it set him off on his path, you know, of craving power. But he still looks like that little boy. And the other day when I saw him talk, he just looked, honestly, you know, there was no acting. He looked genuinely terrified. Wow. You know, it's like Musk is just bullying him, you know. I mean, this guy, he's a pretty scary guy, Elon Musk. I mean, let's face it, in this day of social media, the guy owns X. I think he's worth close to $500 billion. He's actually in some role, at least. I don't think it's an official role, but he's in the U.S. administration in some capacity.
It's a quasi-official role.
He's hanging out with Donald Trump, who's going to be the president of the United States in 2 weeks. I mean, this guy is one of the most powerful men in the world. He is. He transcends borders. And of course, the EU and the British now are talking about whether he's interfering in British, you know, politics. And the EU are the same. And of course, they do the same thing with the Russians. You know, they don't want any Russian propaganda. So that's why they have to ban RT. But if George Soros is involved, it's not a problem. If the Jewish lobby is involved, it's not a problem. They're very selective about who's allowed to influence their political, climate.
Okay, now there's something else I want to bring up. So Elon Musk, there had been talk of him financing the Reform Party.
Yeah.
And that now he's had this kind of one, at least one-sided falling out with Nigel Farage, where he's saying Nigel Farage doesn't have what it takes to be leader of Reform. Well, I mean, Reform isn't that it like Nigel Farage's personal property? But I saw Nigel Farage's response, and his response seemed to be very differential to Musk.
Again, the truth of the matter is Elon Musk is so powerful and so influential and can change the face of politics with his money that everyone is walking on eggshells. Everyone's walking on eggshells, right? Now, yeah. The reason...
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Can change the face of politics with his money, that everyone is walking on eggshells. Everyone's walking on eggshells, right?
And
now,
yet,
the reason.
And yet, I do want to interject. And yet, a year or so ago, when he started retweeting or just responding to tweets that could be viewed as anti-Semitic, and he went a little bit too far on that. He had to go on a humiliation tour to Auschwitz, guided by Ben Shapiro. So,
don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong here. I said he's powerful, but he's not that powerful.
There you go. Publicly humiliated by Ben Shapiro.
Yeah. So anyway, this is the other problem, of course. It's always tinged with a little bit of irritation on my side, and I would imagine Mark Collett is the same if he has expressed any of this to you. But you know, one of the reasons of this argument between, I think that the reason that Musk put this tweet out that Farage hasn't got it, what it takes, is because he has sort of distanced himself so much from Tommy Robinson, and Elon Musk is a fan of Tommy Robinson. He said he's a political prisoner. He's done nothing wrong. Now, I agree. I don't dislike Tommy Robinson. I don't. I think he's done a lot of good things, including, put his neck out there and exposing a lot of this grooming gang stuff. But I can also see, if I just try and sort of stay, neutral on it, I can see why Nigel Farage doesn't want to embrace him. But Musk is basically calling him a bit of a pussy, really, because he's, and I understand this too, because Farage is in the back foot. He's wanting to distance himself from Tommy Robinson. But when you do that, anytime you do that, you're always kind of still playing to the tune of who you hate. They're always controlling you. It's like, oh, no, you're running scared. Because you can't really say what you really think. I think if it wasn't for the media, who would brand Tommy Robinson a criminal and Islamophobic, and he's got a long criminal history. Yeah, long criminal history of what? Being persecuted by the state for speaking about, grooming gangs mainly. He would probably support him. So this seems to be the division. However, when this sort of stuff happens, you do basically get the Irish or the English or sorry the British in quotes nationalist movement basically gets boiled down to an anti-Islam movement. Mm-hmm. And that's why I've always said. I mean, these people. I was listening to this guy Dan Wooten last night on his channel saying, let's be honest, the greatest threat that the British and the West face is Islam. I don't think so. I mean, here's the. I mean. And not only that, but it's like they're talking about the worst elements of Islam. So let's just say, for example,
and by the way, we only have like a minute or so left.
But let's just say, for example, they rounded up every grooming gang or anybody, a groomer or any rapist who was involved with any of this stuff or even connected to it, and they deported them all. And they got rid of everybody who was even remotely connected to any kind of radical extremism. How many people would that be? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of Muslims who don't get involved in that sort of stuff. I mean, if you get rid of that, are they happy? Is that the solution for them? I mean, does that deal with the problems that we've been facing in the last 35 years with the demographic shift?
Yeah, right. You're still going to be being replaced by, Muslims too, Indians and Caribbeans and Africans and everybody else. Well,
exactly.
I want to thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Patrick, for having me.
Okay, and I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.